This is a passage that we covered about 3 years ago, and it's so appropriate for us as well as for the people of Ukraine and other places. And so I ask this question, what do you do when the bottom falls out of life? Think of these brothers and sisters in Ukraine or others in Afghanistan or any other country that is in great turmoil today. What do you do when all your hopes and dreams come crashing down? All the things that you've trusted in, just the basic infrastructure of life, food, transportation, safety. What do you do when a trusted friend becomes a bitter enemy? What do you do when your marriage is on the rocks, or maybe your marriage has been broken? There aren't easy answers to those questions. There's not simple answers to any of those questions, but these are things that we all face. These are things that every generation has faced. And so it's right that we take an honest look at these things. The psalmist here in Psalm 42 is brutally honest about who he is and his emotions before God. We've talked about this many different times, but there is a theology of suffering all throughout the Scriptures. There is an understanding in Scripture that we will suffer. And how will we deal with that suffering? And we can give various answers. There's three very clear answers. First of all, is that suffering is a consequence of the fall, of living in a fallen world. We all face suffering and trials because Adam and Eve chose to rebel against God. And so the rest of us are sinners and we all suffer in a fallen world. Suffering also can be the result of an attack of Satan himself or of his demons. And suffering can be a means of God testing and purifying us, the church, those who are his children. But overarching all of those is this truth that we find all throughout Scripture, that God is sovereign, that he rules over all things, including suffering. So let me read for us Psalm 42, and let's consider this together this morning. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Let's pray as we come to this text. Father, you are our God. You are the one who is sovereign over all things. And so as we come to this passage, which explores some of the confusion of suffering and how we deal with that emotionally, we pray that you would be our teacher and that we would find comfort in your word. this morning. Oh, how our hearts break for those that are suffering in Ukraine and all over the world. Lord, I pray that the gospel of peace would bring them peace during this time of turmoil, and that you, Jesus, would be lifted up on high. We pray this in your name. Amen. How appropriate that I need some water, because this is where the psalmist begins. The psalmist begins with a deer needing water, a deer panting for flowing streams. It's running through the prairie or through the forest, and it's running, and it needs some water. And when it finds that water, what does it do? It drinks deeply. It gets as much as it can, as quickly as it can. I'm sure you've been there. I've been there many times, being so thirsty that there's nothing that quenches your thirst like a good cup of water. Nothing tastes better when you're overwhelmingly thirsty than a good cup of water. Maybe you were so thirsty that you just grabbed the hose outside and started drinking. I mean, that's what we used to do when I was a kid. Maybe that's not safe anymore, but that's what we did. And just drinking until your gut hurts so bad. You're like, oh, I better stop drinking. And that is what has happened here. The deer is running, is panting for the water. And the psalmist says that that's how his soul pants for God. This is not like what we often do. We often go to get a cup of coffee with a friend and sit and sip and enjoy this cup of coffee. Or maybe you like fancy coffee at Starbucks or something like that, or $5, whatever you want to call it, and you go and drink that fancy coffee. But that's for enjoyment. This is for life. This is for sustaining the deer's life. And he says, the psalmist says, that is how our soul should pant for God, as if we depend upon him, because we actually do. So we see throughout here this back and forth of him trusting God and yet saying, God, I need you. Where are you? It's kind of an emotional roller coaster I'm trusting God, but yet I don't see God right now. Look at what he says here. So pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? There is no doubt where the psalmist is turning in this, his greatest hour of need. He is turning to God. He is turning to God. His very life and soul depend upon God, just like the deer's life depends upon the flowing streams of water. And so that's the positive side of this. He recognizes his need for God, but not just for physical sustenance or life, but for his soul. For his soul. In his hour of greatest need, the psalmist turns to God. Let me just stop and ask you, have you come to that point when the only one that you are thirsting for is God and him alone? Or are you filling that with all sorts of other things that you think are going to satisfy, when really the only thing that satisfies is that good, pure, clean cup of water? God and God alone is the one that satisfies. So that's the positive side of what the psalmist is saying here. But the negative side of this, as you read through it, is that he's saying over and over again, God, where are you? Where are you? I'm in a bad fix here. I'm in a bad place. Where are you? This is what Job experienced, right? With all that Job went through, losing all of his children, losing all his possessions, losing his health, and losing the respect of his wife. What did he say? He said, God, why do you hide your face and count me as your enemy? That's how Job felt. There are times in our lives when it feels like God is a million miles away. Like we're going through this desert wasteland, searching for living water. We're about to fall to the ground. And we don't find God anywhere, it seems. But that is not true. For the believer, we know that God is there. Hebrews 13 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? God is there. He is there in that moment of greatest need. Matthew 28:20, Jesus promises, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus is with us. And the psalmist knows this intellectually, and we'll see that throughout the psalm, but he is battling with his emotions. He feels like God is not there, that God is distant. Look at what he says in verses 3 and 4. He says, my tears have been my food day and night. Can you imagine our dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ in Ukraine or maybe in Afghanistan where they've been abandoned? Can you imagine the tears night and day? God, where are you? Where are you? The psalmist here can't stop crying. He cries at night. He cries in the day. The sadness is just overwhelming. I don't know each of where you're at emotionally. Maybe you've been there. Maybe the depression is so dark that the tears just flow. There's no stopping it. There's no sin in crying. There's a time for weeping. And weeping doesn't make you wimpy. Two of the manliest men that ever walked the face of the earth wept. Jesus wept over the death of his friend Lazarus. He wept over Jerusalem. David wept when his rebellious son Absalom was killed. When a person cries, what is that saying? It's saying, I can't do this all myself. I'm crying out for help. And what do the words of Scripture tell us? It says that God rejects the proud and exalts the humble, gives grace to the humble. There's no sin in crying. There's a time for that. But add to this misery that the psalmist is experiencing his enemies that now come and berate him and berate his God. Look at what they say. While they say to me all the day long, where is your God? You've been talking about this God. Now where is your God? Maybe you haven't had somebody, maybe not somebody physically say that to you, but maybe Satan has said that to you. Where is your God now? You say you trust in God. Where is he now? Psalm 115, verses 2 and 3 say, why should the nations say, where is their God? Here's the psalmist's answer. Our God is in the heavens, and he does all that he pleases. He's the sovereign one. He is in control of all these things, including the suffering that I'm going through. So the psalmist knows these deep truths intellectually, but there's this battle raging in his spirit. And it's a legitimate battle that we all face. And so he has these memories. Verse 4. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. So there's two things that's going on here. One, he's remembering better days when he was the one that was leading to worship God. This God that his emotions are now questioning. Where are you, God? He says that's what I used to do. And he's trying to put himself back there to remember that this is a true God that he has served before. But this memory also floods him with the sadness that that's not where he's at right now. That's where I was, but it's not where I'm at right now. Think of those in Ukraine. No doubt there were some that gathered there Sunday morning, which would have been yesterday, that gathered to worship and praise God wherever they were able to. I don't know if you saw this. There's a couple videos that have been going around of believers in subways or in parking garages that have just burst out in song and praise to God. That is glorious to see. But there are others that are scattered, that are running for their lives, and they can't gather with the ones that they love to worship God. No doubt God is with them, but no doubt they're wondering, God, where are you? Why can't I gather with my brothers and sisters in Christ? There is a special thing that happens when believers come together to worship God. The Spirit of God is here with us. No doubt he is with us always, but we can sense his presence when we are here together. And I don't want to jump by this opportunity to encourage you to be in church, to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. This is important for your soul, that when we come together to encourage each other and to hear from the Word of God, it reminds us that he is with us all throughout the week. He is always there with us. And so the psalmist remembers that. And then he goes on in verse 5, and he starts preaching to himself. He starts talking to himself. Now, some of us do that more naturally than others. You just naturally talk to yourself. Others of us might need to be exhorted to talk to yourself, to preach to yourself. And look at what he says in verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Let's learn a couple things from this statement. It's good to try to discern why you're in despair. It's good to discern, what is it that is leading me to this point of depression, of great overwhelming sadness? So how do we do that? By examining Scripture, by praying, by talking to a trusted friend, maybe by going to a biblical counselor, by being part of the body of Christ where we can encourage and edify one another. Those are all ways that we can discern what's causing us to be in despair. To answer that question, why are you cast down, O my soul? And secondly, and I'll just reiterate this, to talk to yourself. To tell yourself what he goes on to say. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Yes, ask yourself those probing questions, but come back with a resolute truth of the Word of God to hope in God and trust in him, because he is our salvation and he is our God. He is the eternal, omnipotent, good, and faithful God. He keeps his covenant promises with his children. And he says this, I shall again praise him, I shall again praise him. He's resolved to praise him again, to recognize that this deep, dark valley, I will be able to walk through this valley, and there will be light at the end of the tunnel. My salvation is God. He is the light, and he is our Savior. But look at what happens then again in verse 6. Again, there's this tug of war going on, this emotional tug of war. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Verse 6, my soul is cast down. Therefore, I remember you. So he remembers again. So he remembers leading people in worship. And now he remembers this in verse 9. Verse 6. I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. These places, these beautiful places where worship of God could take place. Mount Hermon, 9,000 feet high. He remembers these mountains and he's remembering God, these places of worship, Jerusalem, and he's trying to remedy his sad heart by thinking of these times of worship. But he continues to struggle. He has this, remember, day and night in verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night. Well, now look at verse 8. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. So he resolves these tears day and night with his hope in God, the promises of God, and the song of God that is with him. And then he comes to verse 9. I say to God, my rock. God is his rock. He's saying to God, who's his rock, the one that he stands upon. What? Why have you forgotten me? It's this tug of war. I say to God, my rock. I trust you, God. You're my rock. You're the foundation. Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, we've all been there, maybe not to the degree that the psalmist is here, maybe in a lesser degree, maybe to a greater degree. But this happens to all of us. Depression is not a new thing. I praise God that he's given me a pretty optimistic spirit, mind, heart. I've had days of depression or of sadness. I've had maybe a week of that sort of thing, but not ongoing long-term. Others have. Let me share with you again about Charles Spurgeon. Spurgeon suffered long black periods of anguishing depression. One Sunday morning, he said from his pulpit, shocking the 5,000 people seated there listening to him, he said, I am the subject of depressions of spirit so fearful that I hope none of you ever gets to such extremes of wretchedness as I go to. And then he said later on, I have often passed through this dark valley. And he went on to say, there are dungeons beneath the castles of despair. Wow, he was at the bottom, place of great despair. But he preached to himself and he trusted in God. Brothers and sisters, we may go through those times. Psalm 42 might be a real reality in your life, this back and forth struggle. But know that God is there. He has promised to be there and he always will be. And he has given you himself. Listen to John 14, 16. Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. John 14, 26, he goes on, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. The Holy Spirit is with us. John 15:26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And then John 16:7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The Holy Spirit indwells believers. And so when your emotions tell you God is nowhere, God, I can't trust you, then you can counter that lie of Satan with the truth of the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit indwells you, that God rules over the nations. He's the sovereign over all the nations. He rules over your life, whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley. He is sovereign over all, and he cares personally for you. Oh, may we run to God in our hour of despair. May we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ all throughout the world that are in this hour of despair, that they would hope in God and that they would praise him even in that time of trouble. Let's pray for them now. Father, once again, we lift up to you people in Ukraine, people in Afghanistan, people in war-torn areas of Africa, people under the persecution of Islam in the Middle East, in Indonesia, in the Philippines. Lord, all over this world, there are believers who are suffering, who no doubt are saying, God, where are you in this time of need? Oh, may they know and may we know the beauty of your presence, that you indwell us as believers and you rule over all. Once again, we pray for peace in Ukraine. We pray that there would be a stop to the fighting. We know that you rule and reign over all, and so may you do a mighty work in this war-torn area. Thank you for caring for each one of us. Oh, may we take advantage of the freedoms, the opportunity that we have together in peace and safety right now. May we glorify you as a body, and may that remind us that you are always with us. We pray this in your precious Son's name. Amen.